Good morning. I'm standing here outside the United Center, home of the Democratic National Convention this past week. This morning, in a special edition of Point of View, I invite you to join me for a behind-the-scenes diary of the week that was here in Chicago. Day by day, a convention journal.
Well, it's Monday afternoon at the United Center, and they're just tuning things up for the opening of the convention this afternoon. We're up here in what they call Radio Row on the seventh floor of the United Center. This is nosebleed territory. The radio reporters have been blessed with an excellent view of the arena from way up here. Unfortunately, we're kind of behind the camera platform where all the TV cameras are set up and the band, some of which you hear now warming up. The problem for us, and it's not really a problem because this is radio, is that when the speakers take to the podium, and that'll include President Clinton, we won't be able to see a thing. That's radio. One of the changes they have made to the United Center, in addition to totally remodeling the facilities, is remove the jerseys and the banners and all the things that would let you know that this is normally, or has normally been, the home of the Bulls and the Blackhawks.
My name is Craig.
And Craig, how long have you worked at the United Center?
The last two seasons, right when it opened up, I've been here.
So you normally sell Bull stuff, Blackhawk stuff?
All year round.
But instead, here today, we got none of that. What's here?
We have plenty of Clinton Gore t-shirts, buttons, all kind of novelties, mugs, glassware.
But if I wanted to buy, say, a Bulls t-shirt, a Michael Jordan jersey, Scottie Pippen jersey?
You'd have to wait till next week when everything comes back. They could make a phone call and we could do it through the mail order. That's the only way we can do it.
Any idea what business is going to be like here?
I heard we're going to try 100,000 a day.
Now, just south of the United Center, they set up a tent city here, but it's like, well, few tent cities you've ever seen, because the tents are huge. Once you're inside, it's easy to forget that you are in a tent. And these tents are lined with, filled to the brim with media organizations from one end of the country to the other, from one side of the world to the next. And here, tucked away in a small corner, is the Community News Project of the Community Media Workshop, which is headed by my colleague Tom Clark, who you know, I'm sure, hosts City Voices at least and sometimes more than once a month right here on WNUA, just before Point of View. Tom has been overseeing or working with or had a big hand in this project, which has been designed to get out to the nation a broader, deeper picture of Chicago than just riots 1968, no riots, 1996, we hope. Tom, how is it going? Now, the place is lined, all these places are lined with newspapers, and Tom's got a huge selection of them here. What are you seeing?
We're checking newspapers to see what footprints from our work of the last 6 months we're finding in the press, and we're pretty pleased so far. Reporters
are... We all hope at this point, as we speak, Monday afternoon, that there will be no trouble that will embarrass the city. You can see already in some of the press coverage the payoff that Mayor Daley, of course, was probably hoping for all along. This morning's LA Times, column one, a chip off Chicago's old boss. Rich Daley is in his third term running the city. His legendary father ran for seven. Critics complain he ignores its racial strife, but he may be, listen to this, the most effective big city mayor in the U.S.
And of course, this echoes a incredible puff piece touting the mayor in that newspaper of record that declared that Chicago was just another Beirut on the lake. The Wall Street Journal last week just heralded the city's urban innovations. My phrase, our term. All of a sudden, the Wall Street Journal is agreeing, and now the rest of the big media is beginning to follow along.
Well, the mayor may get credit for some of these reforms.
This is Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Charlie Meyerson at the United Center with the Convention Journal.
Sir, I've seen your train go by, and I think I can beat it.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning. We're at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and here amongst all the political types, the high-powered reporters, is comedian, political commentator Jackie Mason. Why are you here at this convention?
I'm here because this is my life. You just said I'm a political commentator. How could you be a political commentator if you don't know nothing about politics? And how are you going to know if you're not there?
How many conventions have you been to?
I would say about, I don't have to give you my exact age, it's none of your business, but I've been to a number of them. I know you're dying to hear that I'm passing away, but I'm not telling you.
All right. You see,
intellectuals with glasses reducing themselves to total idiots because they do what they're told and they say what they're told and they feel they have no right to question it and they're afraid to question it because otherwise they wouldn't be a delegate. And it's more important to them to be a delegate than to sit in the house listening to your wife complaining.
Charlie Myerson, Tuesday morning, the Hyatt Regency Hotel, walking along with comedian, political commentator Jackie Mason. This is Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Our convention journal continues. Tuesday afternoon with a Chicago hometown boy and one of the nation's most respected and widely read critics, Newsweek senior editor Jonathan Alter. How's this convention so far stack up against the Republican convention? You were in San Diego.
The Democratic convention tends to be less of a white bread crowd, a more diverse.
It's amazing how beautiful
my hometown looks, and really I'm stunned by how friendly and accommodating everybody is. And it's great to see the burden of 1968 lifted. I was at the 1968 convention as a kid, and just watching how that terrible burden has been lifted from the city of the big shoulders is great to see, and it makes me proud to still call myself a Chicagoan.
They're going to start calling us Disneyland on the Lake now. It's Newsweek senior editor Jonathan Alter on Point of View on WNUA 95.5. I'm Charlie Myerson as our convention journal continues.
We need to give the president the strength of a Democratic Congress.
We can rebuild Poland and Europe and Japan. We can build Chicago and Atlanta and Memphis and Nashville. We can rebuild America.
What are your best-selling items?
Best-selling item is the DNC T-shirt, by far. It says Democratic Chicago Convention, you know, in Chicago. So great shirt for us to sell.
Can I get a Bulls T-shirt here?
Sorry, got to come back in bull season.
Well, I'm on the convention floor now. I'm sitting in the Indiana delegation space. Because it's Wednesday morning, though, I'm the closest thing you'll find to an Indiana delegate here now. Tonight, of course, the place will be jumping when each state announces its vote for the president or otherwise. The Weasel State, home of the U.S. champion ping pong team, cast its ballot for...
Illinois proudly cast all 193 votes for the husband of our very own Hillary Rodham Clinton, our president, and the next president of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton.
Charlie Myerson with WNUA Radio in Chicago. Got a second?
We're not allowed to speak to the media.
Who told you that? your boss? What if I wanted to buy something?
Oh, I'll sell you anything.
Okay, what would it cost? What would it cost me to buy a bag of potato chips?
$1.75.
Thanks. I won't tell your boss. Okay. Just between you and me. It's Thursday morning. We've caught up with Chicago Sun-Times Washington Bureau Chief Lynn Sweet outside the Hotel Intercontinental on Michigan Avenue. Where are you headed, Lynn?
Well, right now I'm going to a breakfast with a group of reporters who are going to be...
Is the Sun-Times working on any sort of story we'll hear about next week after the glow of the convention has faded about how all this money's been spent and where the payoffs have been and where the kickbacks may have been hidden?
Well, I always try to follow the money. You know, that's just something I think that's important. I'm always following the money.
And where is it leading now?
Well... Read the paper.
All right. Lynn Sweet, Chicago Sun-Times, Washington Bureau Chief. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, thank you.
Do you know what's going on at the convention tonight?
No.
Do you know what's going on at the convention tonight?
No.
Do you know what's happening at the convention tonight?
Sorry?
Do you
I'm
know what...
Russia.
Bill Clinton giving a special meeting.
Do you know what's going on at the Democratic convention tonight?
The president will accept his nomination for 4 more years, I guess.
Don't know if I can find a fancy way to say this, but... I accept.
42nd Quadrennial Democratic Convention is hereby adjourned. God bless the Democratic Party and the United States of America.
Well, we're now free of most of those Democratic visitors with their star-spangled vests and flag pattern suspenders, their credentials displayed with poor fashion sense wherever they walked. In the days ahead, we may see a few mini-scandals about how much the city spent to make itself beautiful and who got the money, but the convention leaves Chicago with a couple of indisputable benefits. Permanent improvements to the west side, left blighted by urban unrest the last time the party met here, and a fresh new reputation. No longer just the city of Al Capone and the Chicago 7, but now also a great place to visit. What will we build on that foundation? If this week is any indication, it could be something great. I'm Charlie Meyerson. Thanks for tuning in. /724, 53 degrees at WNUA.
Tomorrow will be the first time in my life I don't have anything to do.
I would like to say a special word of thanks to Senator Dole, and I ask you to join me in applause for his lifetime of service to the United States.
The election goes to Bill Clinton, the first Democrat to win re-election since Franklin Roosevelt. And he seems to have achieved the mandate he sought. The latest numbers suggest he's done something he didn't do last time out. He got half the vote, 50% for Clinton, 42% for Bob Dole, 8% for Ross Perot, who hints he'll be back.
You've done a tremendous job. Take a little break, and then we'll climb back in the ring and keep the pressure on to see that everybody keeps those promises, right?
In Illinois, it was the Democrats' day, the night's biggest surprise. Democrat Dick Devine has taken the Cook County State's Attorney's job from Republican Jack O'Malley. In the 5th Congressional District, Republican Michael Flanagan is unseated by Democrat Rod Blagojevich.
This vote sends a clear message to Newt Gingrich and the radical right. Your revolution is over.
That warning rings a little hollow this morning. Turns out the Republicans still run the U.S. House and the Senate, the first time in 66 years for back-to-back Republican control of the House. Still, the U.S. Senate seat from Illinois goes to Democrat Dick Durbin.
The issues that I contrasted with Mr. Salvi really became important during the course of the campaign. And the gun control issue was number one.
But Al Salvi suggested last night he may be back.
I really am not necessarily looking forward to the idea of jumping into another major race, statewide race. But at the same time, I don't think a decision should be made at this time.
And in one of the most watched referenda in the country, Californians have voted for Proposition 209, the landmark rollback of affirmative action, race, and gender preferences in California state hiring, employment, and education. California voters also have approved a proposition to legalize marijuana for medical use. Basketball, the Bulls beat Vancouver 96-73. WNUA weather, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of rain this afternoon, an 80% chance tonight, a high of 64, a low of 45, 53 degrees now. And that's WNUA News at 726. I'm Charlie Meyerson.